Okay, today's daf is Kesubas daf Tzadiches. We are holding on the top of daf Tzadiches Amud Aleph. We were discussing yesterday if a woman has already received her Kesuba, so she's not allowed to get Mezonos anymore. What if she got Miktsas Kesuba? She already received part of the Kesuba. She's still entitled to Mezonos or not. So we were discussing whether Miktsas Kesef is Kekol Kesef. So first we're going to come to a Maskana LaHalacha about Miktsas Kesef Kekol Kesef, and then we're going to go on to discuss, again, continuing in discussions about an Almana selling the Karka of the Yisomim in order to pay for her Kesuba. So the Gemara is going to have a discussion. When she does so, does she have to take a shvua that she didn't collect more than the actual value of the ksuba for selling the land? And also, when she sells the land of the Yisomim, does it require achraza? Normally when Beis Din sells land in order to pay back a balchov, they do achraza for 30 days to make sure that they're getting the best price. Does an almana have to do the same? The Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is also continuing the discussion about an almana selling karka of the Yisomim in order to collect her ksuba. What if she sells it for too much or too little, meaning she gets more than the value of the karko or less than the value of the karko? Who takes the loss? Who gets the gain, the benefit, if she gets a very good deal on the karka? And do we ever assume that the whole mekach is batal, that she went beyond what she was authorized to do if she got a bad deal, and therefore the mekach is going to be batal? And that's going to lead us directly into the sugya on Amud Beis of, in general, if I send a shliach to do something for me and the shliach gets a better deal than I thought was available, so who gets the extra? Is it me because I sent him and it was my money that he was doing it with, or is it him because he's the one that managed to finagle the best deal? And that's very much halacha lemaisa, meaning that that happens all the time with airline points and things like that. A company sends someone on business and he's traveling, and he's sometimes, the company says, you make your own arrangements and we'll just send us the bill. So who gets those points? Does the company get the points, or does the person get the points? Does the employee get the points? And then the Gemara is going to talk about a shliach who was sent to sell karka and he didn't do exactly his shlichus, whether the shlichus is kayam or not, if he did differently than a shlichus. Let's begin again from the top of daf Tzadi Ches Amar Aleph. We are up to Hahi Itza, and this is going to be a psak halacha when it comes to the situation of Miktsas Kesef Kikol Kesef. If a woman already received part of her ksuba, does she already lose the rights to the mezonos at that point once she's received part of her ksuba? Hahi Itza de Tafsa Kasa de Kaspa Biksubasa. A woman who received a kos of kesef, a silver goblet, as her ksuba, for her ksuba payment, and it was insufficient to cover the entire value of the ksuba, but it covered part of the value of the ksuba. Katava mizoni, and then she asked for mizonos because she has not yet received her full ksuba, even though she has received some of it. Asayla kame de Rava, they came to Rava to ask the shayla. Amr lehu, and Rava said, liyasmi zilu havula mizonos. That Amr lehu liyasmi zilu havula mizonos. He told the Yisomim, go and give her the mizonos. You still owe her mizonos because you have not yet paid the full ksuba. Lest the chash lahad Rabbi Shimon. No one holds like Rabbi Shimon. Damar lo amrin mixes ketsav kol kesef. It says that lo amrin mixes of kol kesef. We hold that you can't amrin mixes ketsav kol kesef. And as long as you owe her part of the ksuba, you owe her the mizonos as well. Tosos earlier, a couple of weeks ago, on Daf Pei Dalid, raised the question: how does it help to be tofes a kasa de kaspa? The Gemara tells us, we just learned a couple of days ago, that tfisas metaltlin doesn't work for a ksuba. So why is a kasa de kaspa okay? We discussed when she's tofes metaltlin for a ksuba, for mizonos, but tfis metaltlin doesn't work for a ksuba. So the Tosos answers that it could be that she was tofes per shusei yisomim. They were maskim to her being tofes the kasa de kaspa because they were trying to make her lose the mizonos through that tfisa. They figured better let her take the kasa de kaspa, and now they won't have to pay mizonos anymore. But it would have to be with their approval. Without their approval in a chinami, she has no rights to the metaltolin. She only has rights, she has a shibur on any karka, but there's no rights to any metaltolin. Okay, biter in the Gemara now. So says Gemara, new situation. Again, we're still continuing to talk about the woman selling the karka of the Yisomim in order to pay for a ksuba. Shalach le Rabba Berei de Rava le Rav Yosef. Rabba Berei de Rava sent Rav Yosef the following shayla. Mocheres shalo bebezdin, tzricha shvua Oein Tzricha Shvua. If the woman sells the Karka of the Yisomim, and we view the woman as the Shaliach of the Yisomim, because the Yisomim owe money to her, it's their job to pay back what they owe. So when she's selling their Karka to pay herself back, we view her as the Shaliach of the Yisomim. Does she need to take a Shvua when she sells that Karka or not? Now it's important to realize that in general, whenever an Almana is Poreya Min Nechsei Yisomim, whenever an Almana gets anything from the Nechsei Yisomim, the halach is always that she has to take a Shvua. That's a Mishnah in Meseches Gittin, Daf Lam Dalar and Beis, Ein Almana Nefras Min Nechsei Yisomim, Ella B'Shvua. An Almana only gets paid back with a Shvua. So Tosus raises the question, what kind of Shaila do you need a Shvua? Of course she needs a Shvua. She's getting paid back from Nechsei Yisomim. Frag Tosus, Im Tomras, Nisani Perakash Alech, Nan, Ein Almana Nefras Min Nechsei Yisomim, Ella B'Shvua. So first Tosus suggests, Vika Lemei Mar'i Ba'almana Min Eirisin, Krabi Shimon, Namar Kol Shein Lamazonos L'Timkar, El B'Bezdin. Maybe that's talking about Almana Min Eirisin. The Chiddush of our Gemara is we're trying to figure out whether even an Almana Min HaNisuin requires a Shvua. But Tosus rejects that. V'nira the Rabbi Dochak, and he points out that no, bein mina erisin, bein mina nisuin, an almana is never going to be able to collect without a Shvua. So Tosus, a little bit further on, he explains, ela omer Rabbi dahach Shvua lo mishum tzrari, ela kidipirish bekuntros shlo gavsa yoser, that the Shvua that she's taking over here is not the regular Shvua that an almana has to take when she comes to collect her ksuba, which is a Shvua that she has not yet been paid her ksuba. That ain't a chinami. Of course she has to take that shvua that she has not yet been paid her ksuba. The shvua that we're talking about over here is like Rashi says, that shalo gavsa yoser, that this karka didn't sell for more than the value of her ksuba. Does she have to take a shvua when she sells the karka and says, okay, now we're even, I sold the karka for the value of my ksuba? Does she have to take a shvua that she didn't sell the karka for more than the value of her ksuba? That's an entirely separate shvua. That's a totally different shvua than the shvua we were speaking about. It's for the next line of Gemara, it's important to know that there is a concept called hachraza. The Gemara, the Mishnah, Maseches Erechin, Daf Chaf Aleph and Beis, tells us that Shuma Yisomim Shloshim Yom. When Beisin goes to Nichsa Yisomim in order to sell the Nichsa Yisomim so that they could pay back the Balichov, they evaluate how much the karka is worth and they announce it, they advertise it, they publicize it for 30 days that this karka is for sale, so that all the different offers can come in and they can get a better sense of the actual value of the karka, and they can make sure they maximize the value of the karka. So that's generally speaking what Beis Din does if Beis Din is selling karka of Yisomim. So the Gemara says, you asked a shayla about shvua, does the Alman have to take a shvua? You should ask a different shayla. You should ask about hachraza, meaning when Beis Din sells karka of Yisomim, Beis Din has to do hachraza. When the woman sells the karka of the Yisomim, does she have to do hachraza in order to make sure that she's getting the best deal? Tosus assumes, if you look at the short Tosus, Tibaylach Achraza, Dimidimibaylach Shvua Michal de Pshitalach de Blobay Achraza. The fact that you're asking a Shaila about the Shvua implies that you're assuming that there's no necessity for Achraza. Do you have a Bay Achraza Kolshkin de Tzricha Shvua? Because if there was a necessity for Achraza, then for sure she would have to take a Shvua, meaning if we're so careful to make sure that she's getting the exact right price by doing Achraza, then of course you would have to take a Shvua to verify that she got exactly the right price. So the fact that you're raising the Shaila about a Shvua means that you seem to assume something about Achraza. But why are you making any assumptions about Achraza? We should have a Shaila about Achraza as well. So says the Gemara, Amar Lei, Achraza lo kami bayili. He said, no, I don't really have a question about Achraza. It's Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Nachman, Almana sheshama liatzma lo'as sovelo klum. That an almana who does the evaluation for herself, let's say she doesn't sell the field for her ksuba, she says, you know what, this field is worth about as much as my ksuba is worth, I'll take the field. So instead of selling the field with the shlichus of the Yisomim as the shliach of the Yisomim and then taking the money for herself to pay her ksuba, she just decides that she'll take the field for herself. So if an almana does that, she's shama liatzma, lo asa v'lo klum. She gets, it's invalid. If the Yisomim want to take it back afterwards and give her the money afterwards, meaning the Yisomim want to sell the field later on. They feel they can get more for the field. The field went up in value, let's say, and they feel they can get more for it, and then they want to pay her ksuba, they're entitled to do that. This is not considered the payment of her ksuba. So, hechidami, what exactly is the case where an almana takes it for herself? Ida achruz, if the case is that there was a hachraza, am I loss of lo klum? Well, she did her job then. She made sure that the field was worth X amount of money, exactly the amount that her ksuba is worth. Why is it that she can't take it for herself? What would be the problem with that? She did a achraza, and then this is what it turned up, that the field is worth exactly what her ksuba is worth. Elolav de lo achruz. It must be that there was no achraza done, and that's why we have a problem with her taking the field as the payment for her ksuba. Ah, but what do you see from there? That when there was no achraza done, it's only if she's going to try to take it for herself that it's loss of lo klum. But for someone else, if she sold it to somebody else and didn't take it for herself, if she sold it to someone else and just took the money for herself, the implication would be that even without hachraza, it would work. So you want to know why I didn't raise the shayla about hachraza? Because we have explicit, based on Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Nachman, that hachraza is not going to be necessary. Hachraza is only necessary if she's going to take it for herself. Says the Gemara, it's not a good raya. How do you know necessarily that we're talking in that case where when she's taking it for herself that she did achraza, that she didn't do achraza rather? Li'olam da achraz. Maybe you can really say she did achraza. What was our problem? If she did achraza, then why can't she keep it? What more do you want from her? She did achraza to make sure that she's getting the accurate assessment of the field. No, there's still a reason why she can't keep it. Uda amrala man shamlaich. We can say to her, who evaluated this for you? So for you to keep. Meaning, Rashi says, Mimi kapalta mechirazu, lomi bezdin, velomi yisamin. Who did you buy it from that you can say that you had a mechira over here, that the sale was valid, that you purchased this land? You didn't buy it from the Yisomim, you didn't buy it from Beis Din. Every mechira has to have two parties. There has to be the mocher and there has to be the lokeach. Now the almana herself is the shaliach of the Yisomim to be the mocher. You can't be both the mocher and the lokeach. It's one thing if you go and you sell it to somebody else, so fine, then you get to keep whatever money you get for the land if you do a proper achraza. But to go and take it for yourself, even with achraza, even with a proper achraza, you're not going to be able to do that because there was no mocher and lokeach. So there is no sale. Lefichach lo yatsa akarka mirushosei yisomin, Rashi says. The karka never left the rushosei yisomin. Aval hecha deshamta la'achrini nafag mirushosei yarshin. Shein nasan lecha mirushos limkar. If she went and evaluated to sell it to somebody else, so then the karka leaves the rushosei yisomin because Beis Din has authorized her to act as the shaliach of the Yisomim to sell that karka. So she is working as the mocher on behalf of the Yisomim. And we have a similar idea, ki haida hu gavra tafkidu gabe kista diyasmi. Just like a certain person had a pikadon of something that belonged to the Yisomim. Rashi has two deus, what exactly a kista diyasmi is, but it's largely irrelevant. The point is that she had something, some sort of this guy had something that belonged to the Yisomim. Azul shamal nafshei barba me'azuze, and he evaluated it for himself as being worth 400 zuz, so he kept it for himself, saying that this is worth 400 zuz. A yakar kam b'shismeh, but then it went up in value, and it is now worth 600 zuz. Asal kamei to Rabbi Ami, they came to Rabbi Ami to ask what to do. Amalei man shamlach. Rabbi Ami says, you weren't allowed to keep it. You were supposed to sell it to somebody else. To keep it for yourself, that was never part of the deal. You need a mocher and a lokeach. You are the mocher on behalf of the Yisomim. You cannot take on put on a second hat and decide that you're going to be the lokeach as well. So that's not permissible. So what you see, when an almana is shamala atzma, it's loss of lo klum. And as we said, because you need both a mocher and a lokeach. But if she sold it to somebody else, then it would work. The Rashba and the Ran say that the mechira is not chal for herself because eino de makna davar liatzmo. That say a similar idea. A person cannot be makna something to themselves. So if a person, let's say, sends another shliach to sell the object for him, the shliach cannot be, let's say I send, in general, a guy sends a shliach to sell something for him. I send a shliach to sell a real estate agent, let's say, to sell my house for me. And then they decide they're buying it for themselves. They're not allowed to do that. If someone, I send a shliach to sell something for me, he's not allowed to then buy it for himself. That's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch, Chosh Mishpat, Simen Kuf Pei Hei, Ein shliach yachal liknos liatzmo, afilu ba'osim dam shirshu b'ilim l'machro. Even if it's for that, I say, please get me this amount of money for this object. Please sell it for this amount of money. He's still not allowed to buy it himself, even for that amount of money. The Shach says, well, wait a second. If he set an exact amount of money that he wants for the item, then maybe that would be different because you're getting the right amount of money. But Shulchan Aruch Paskin is not that way. Machna Ephraim has a discussion in Hilchos Shluchim V'Shutvin in Simon Chaf where he says if the Shliach gives the Mishaleach money to buy something for him, even though he didn't let the Mishaleach know that he was buying it for himself, since the Mishaleach took the money, so he was gamar v'hikna. He decided that he was that he was selling it, and it works. And he writes that the shliach wants to be kona for himself. The other trick is if you just need to get around the concern that there's no mocher and kona, so you could, as a simple trick, you could just appoint someone else. You could have someone else be zocha for him, so you could be zocha al yedei acher. I mean, if I'm a shliach and I'm supposed to sell something, so I'm not allowed to buy it because there's no mocher and kona, I'm a shliach of the mocher, how can I be the kona also? How can I be the lokeach also? So I could have someone else act as my shliach to be the kona, to be the lokeach. So Machna Ephraim discusses whether in fact that works. There's a tshuva, Marash Engel has an interesting shaila, a case of a person who gave a woman metaltlin to sell, and the woman said that she can't find a kona for this metaltlin, she can't find a buyer except for a very cheap price. For 150 ruble, she's able to find a buyer for this metaltalin. So the person was desperate. He needed to sell it. He needed the money. He said, fine, I'm asking 150 ruble. If that's the best you could do for me, so sell it and give me the 150 ruble. Afterwards, so she gave him 150 ruble. Shalom Yisrael, everyone was happy. Afterwards, it became known that the person she had sold it to was her husband. And her husband had subsequently flipped it and sold it for 300 ruble. So the woman couldn't find anyone that could pay more than 150 ruble, and she was the shliach. Somehow the husband, shortly afterwards, found someone who was willing to pay 300 ruble. Now the mishaleach was maskim. He was maskim to the 150 ruble, but it was with the understanding that she couldn't find anyone. She says, for her part, it was true. I couldn't find anyone at the time that was willing to pay more than 150. My husband was the only one willing to pay 150. Granted, I didn't tell you that it was my husband, but what difference does it make? So the poskim discussed in that case, Marash Engel has in tshuva. Do we say that we'd say the same thing? Man shom laich, that you're not allowed to take it for yourself? Or maybe this is different. She's not taking it for herself. The husband is a different party. The husband is the one that bought it. So is it enough to be motzi miyada muksuk, to take it away from the person who's muksuk right now? So he concludes that it's not enough to be motzi miyada muksuk, that since it is possible that at the time the 150 was the best deal she was able to get, even though shortly thereafter the husband was able to get a better deal, it's very similar to our case of shamal nafshe ba'arba me'azuzi, ayakar kam b'shismeya, and then it went up to 600. Where the only reason that it doesn't work is because man shamlach, you aren't allowed to take it for yourself, but the husband is a different party. Maybe in that case, he is allowed to take it. So the Gemara comes to a halachic conclusion. The halacha is that it requires both that you do need to take a shvua, but it's not necessary to do a hachraza. You don't require a hachraza. So Tosfos raises the question in Dibra Maskel Amr Lei, why is it that when she's mocheris la'atzma, she could sell without achraza, yet when Beis Din is mocher, they can't sell without achraza? I mean, the Gemara's maskan over here. Ein etzrich achraza. The woman is selling the karka of the Yisomim in order to pay for a shvua, so she doesn't have to do any achraza. She could sell it right away, no 30 days of verifying what this karka actually costs. But when Beis Din sells something, so that's clear in Mesechus Gittin, Beis Din has to do achraza. Why had the difference. So Tosfos suggests that Beis Din, since if they were to sell it with the wrong price, with the talus of Pachas Mishtos, the Mekach would be Kayim, meaning there would be normal dinim of Onah, that if they make a mistake of more than 1/6, the Mekach is Batel, but less than 1/6, the Mekach would be Kayim. So it could turn out that they're going to be Mafsid the Yisomim. But when it comes to her, we don't follow the normal dinim of Onah. When it comes to her, even Bepachas Mishtos, the Mekach is going to be Batel. If she doesn't get the right price for it, the whole sale is not going to be valid. So it's not going to cost the Yisomim anything not to do the Hachraza. The Hachraza just verifies exactly how much it's worth. If she ends up selling it for less than it's worth, we're going to see in the next Mishnah, the whole sale is invalid anyway. So it's not so risky not to do Hachraza. That's what Tosfos suggests. The Ran suggests a little differently. The Ran suggests that when Beis Din sells it, it has to be that why is Beis Din selling land to pay her back? It must be that she was Toveya the Ksuba in Beis Din from the Yisomim. Now the rule is, as soon as the woman is Toveya her Ksuba in Beis Din, as soon as she shows up to Beis Din and says, I want to get paid now, I want my Ksuba, from that point on, she loses the rights to Mizonos. She no longer collects Mizonos. So Beis Din is all the time in the world, because it's not going to cost the Yisomim Mizonos while they're being Machris. Whereas if she's selling the Karka herself without a Tviya be-Beis Din, she's not doing it in Beis Din of Mumchim. She goes and sells it Beis Din of Idiotos. She doesn't have to be Toveya in Beis Din. So the entire time she's selling it, she's still receiving the Mizonos. So she's going to go and do Achraza for 30 days. That's costing the Yisomim 30 days of Mizonos. That's not fair to the Yisomim to cost them those 30 days of Mizonos. And that's the difference. That's why when she sells it, she does not require Achraza. When the Beis Din sells it, they do require Achraza. Ran also suggests that just like we allow her to sell Shalom Beis Din because of Chayin, or because Eino Demarotza should spaz the Ishto Beis Din, that's for that same reason we allow her to sell it without Achraza. Because Achraza is also a Bizayon, that she's going to have to run around getting the price by putting it out in the market and being there schmoozing with everybody and trying to figure out exactly what it's going to fetch, exactly how much money it's going to get. But if she already came to a Beis Din of Mumchin, so then she's obviously not choshesh for Bizayon and for Chayin, and therefore it's going to require Achraza once it already went to a Beis Din of Mumchin. Okay, says the Mishnah now. Almana Sheisuk, so this Mishnah again is going to talk about a situation where she sold the karka either for too much or too little. She got a really great deal and got more than she should have gotten for the karka, or less than she should have gotten for the karka. So Almana Sheisuk Subasam Asayim, let's say Ksuba is worth 200 zuz. So first we discuss where Umachra Shava Mana B'Masayim. She took karka that was worth 100 and sold it for 200. She got the full value of her ksuba for a piece of karka that was worth half of what her ksuba was worth. Oh, Shava Masayim B'Mana. Or she took a karka that's worth the full value of her ksuba but only got paid half of what the ksuba was worth. Niskabla Ksuba. So in either of those cases, we treat it as if she received her whole ksuba. In the former case, it's because she got the amount of money that her ksuba was worth. And in the latter case, because she took a piece of karka that was worth what Ksuba was worth. She got a bad deal by selling it for so cheaply, but the piece of karka she took was worth her old Ksuba. Haisuk Ksubasa mana, the Ksuba was worth 100, umachra shava mana v'dinar b'mana, and she sold a karka that's really worth a mana and a dinar, a mana plus, and she only got a mana for it, mechra batal. The whole mecher is batal. Afilu hi omeris achzer dina liyarshin, mechra batal. Even if she says that I will return the dinar to the Yarshim, I'll reimburse them for that dinar, still the entire mecher is batal. She doesn't have the right to reimburse them for that dinar. Rav Shimon Leah, and the whole sale is invalid. Rav Shimon Leah lomer, liyolam mecher kayim, ad shetesham kideshet shayir besada, bas tisha kav, nu begina bas chatzi kav, uktibra akiva beis rova. That the mecher is going to be kayim, it's going to be a valid sale, unless the difference between what she got for it and what she could have gotten for it would leave the Yisomim with a sizable piece of land, with a reasonable piece of land, a kedei chalukah, something that they would view as, that people in general would view as worthwhile. And the Mishnah just puts numbers to that, that for a regular field of grain, if it could produce tisha kavin of grain in a season, or a garden that produces a half a kav of vegetables, or according to Rabbi Akiva, a quarter of a kav of vegetables. So if that's the difference, if that's the size of the piece of land that they should be getting back, then the mecher is going to be batal. But short of that, the mecher is still going to be kaim. So it's machlokas tanoim in the Mishnah. If she's off by a little bit, do we assume the mecher is batal, or do we assume that the mecher is is kayam. How do we paskin? So it's the Tanakama against Rav Shmuel and Liel. The Raman paskins like the Tanakama, that the Mekach is batal. So I asked the Lacha Mishnah, this is the Raman's in the 17th Parak of Hilchos Yishus, why doesn't the Raman paskin like Rav Shmuel and Liel? We had a klal about 20 blad ago, 3 weeks ago, kol makom sheshon Rav Shmuel and Liel Mishnah Seinu, halacha kamoso. Whenever we say that the halacha is like Rav Shmuel and Liel in the Mishnah, we always paskin like Rav Shmuel and Liel. Why aren't we paskining like Rav Shmuel and Liel over here? So that's the kasha the Achronim deal with in the Rambam. And the Ar Samech suggests that over here it's a machlokas v'achar kach stam, because the hemshech of the Mishnah is going to say that if the ksuba is worth 400 zuz, so the hemshech of the Mishnah in the next case assumes, like the Tanakama, that if it's off a little bit, that all mekachs can be batal. So that is the status of machlokas v'achar kach stam. What's the svara for machlokas v'achar kach stam? When you have machlokas and then after the machlokas there's a stam, that's telling you that although Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, when he was arranging the Mishnah, initially was wavering on the issue because he saw both sides of the issue, if he later included only one side as a stam, that's an indication that we're supposed to paskin like that side, that he had come to a conclusion halachically that we're supposed to paskin like that side. So even though typically speaking halachah Mishnah Liel Mishnah Seinu, but if you have a stam after the machlokas, we follow the stam. So what is that stam? It's this next line: Haisek Subasa Arba Meil Zuz Umachra Lezebemana Lezebemana Ula Achron Yafamana Vedina Bemana. If she, the ksuba is worth 400 zuz, and she took four pieces of land, and she said each of them are worth 100, and or the first three are worth 100, and she sold them for exactly what they're worth, and then the fourth piece of land was really worth a mana vidinar, but she only sold it for a mana. So do we say that all the sales are invalid, or only the last one? So shall achron batal v'shal kulan mechron kayam. The first three sales are valid, so she's been paid 3/4 of her ksuba. The last sale is invalid, and that she's got to try over again because she didn't get the right deal. But you see that we're clearly assuming that being off by mana v'dinar for a mana would make a mechor bata like the sheet of the Tanakama, not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's how the Ar Samech explains why the Rambam chooses to paskin like the Tanakama. Now ask the Gemara, wait a second, the first line of the Mishnah we said, if she takes a piece of property that's worth a mana, and she manages to get 200 zuz for it. So we said it's the benefit is the Yisomim's benefit. She got 200 zuz, that's her full ksuba, she's not entitled to anything more. Yet, when she gets a bad deal, that's on her, that's not on the Yisomim. So why? How is that fair? Maishna shav masayim b'mana darmila atav sadit. Why is it that when she gets only 100 for a 200 zuz piece of land, we say that she's the one that takes the loss? Shav b'mana masayim namitema ana arvachna. Why can't she take the gain when she gets more than a field is worth? When she was able to take a $100 field and sell it for 200, shouldn't she get the profit? So Amrav Nachman, Amrav Baravua, Kan Shana Rebbe Hakol Balamos. This is where Rebbe taught that din that everything goes to the Balamos. That when a shliach is sent to do something and the shliach gets a better deal, the it all goes to the Balamos. Kiddetanya, we have a brisa that says as follows, and this is the brisa that deals with again the shailas that come up so many times. We've had I mentioned in shul a couple of months ago the shaila I had in yeshiva where the boys there's a stop chop and roll has the buy two get one free. Sushi deal. So there was one boy that was getting two other kids to order sushi every day, and they each paid whatever it is, $5.50 for their roll of sushi, and then you get buy two get one free. So this boy that was putting together the order took the third roll for free every single day. You get two other kids to pay $5.50 for that roll. Didn't tell them where he was getting the rolls from or that there was a special deal of buy two, get one free. But they kept on giving a free roll, so he kept on taking the free roll for himself. So this is the Gemara that deals with that shaila. Is he entitled to that free roll? Or pizza shops, typically, for a pie of pizza, it will cost the same amount as buying 7 slices of pizza. So if I put together an order by asking people if they want to order pizza, and each of them I get 7 people who each want to order a slice, and can I keep the 8th slice for myself? That's going to essentially come for free. So that's exactly this shaila. Kiddetanya, the Bryce says as follows: Hosifu lo achas yesera. If the seller adds an extra one, throws in something extra. When a shliach was sent to buy something, the seller throws in something extra. Hakol l'shliach, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it all goes to the shliach. It all belongs to the shliach. Rabbi Yossi omer cholkin. Rabbi Yossi says no, it does not all go to the shliach. It's cholkin. We split it between the shliach and the mishaleach. Va'tanya Rabbi Yossi omer kol l'balamos. But wait a second. Didn't Rabbi Yossi say that it all goes to the mishaleach? So now we have three opinions. We have Rabbi Yehuda who says it all goes to the shliach. We have Rabbi Yossi of the first brisa that says they divide it. And then we have Rabbi Yossi of the second brisa that says that it all goes to the mishaleach. So it says, it's not a stir in Rabbi Yossi. Amram Mirachama, lo kasha. Kan bedavar sheish lo kitzva, kan bedavar she'in lo kitzva. It depends if we're dealing with something that has a set price or not. Something that has a set price that's sold by the pound, that this is what you get for the pound, and then the storekeeper decides to add something extra, then we divide it. And Rashi explains, that's a matana, yesh lomer l'shliach nasna, yesh lomer l'balmos nasna. We don't know who he's giving the matana to. We don't know why he's throwing in the extra, but it's clearly extra. It's clear and obvious that he's throwing in something extra. So that will be split. But a davar she'ein lo kitzva, something that doesn't have any clear price, and sometimes you get cheaper, sometimes you get more expensive, so then hakol balmos, because that's just a regular sale. That's where Rabbi Yossi is going to say that it all goes to the mishaleach. Amar Rav Papa, Hilchasav, Rav Papa says, how do we paskin? Davar sheyesh lo kitzva cholkin. If it's something that has a set price, you're supposed to split it. Davar she'ein lo kitzva, hakol balamos. Something that does not have a set price is supposed to go to the balamos, is supposed to go to the mishaleach. So when Rav Papa says that this is the halacha, what's this chiddush? We just said that was the pshat in Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, what we're saying is that was the correct pshat in Rabbi Yossi, that when Rabbi Yossi had these two different statements and these two different prices, that the way to reconcile them is this way, is by distinguishing between a davar sheyesh lo kitzva and a davar she'in lo kitzva. So this is this is something that's obviously very much halacha l'maisa. The Rishonim have a debate why it is that the matana goes to both of them. Meaning, we said that if it's a davar sheyesh lo kitzva, something that has a very clear set price, he's not doing you any favors. He is doing you a favor. It has a very clear set price. He's giving you something extra. So why is it that they divide that between the shliach and the mishalech? Is it because, like Rashi says, we don't know who he intends to give it to? He's clearly trying to give a gift to somebody, but we don't know if he's giving because of the money, or he's giving because he likes the shliach, he likes the person who showed up in his store, or maybe really min hadin it should all go to the shliach. But it's not nice. You're using someone else's money to benefit yourself. So that they made a takana to Rabbanan that you got to give a half to the mishaleach as well. But really, Min HaDin, it should all go to the shliach, because he's the one that received the matana directly from the storekeeper. What's the nafka mina between the two approaches as to why they would split it? So the nafka mina is if the mocher says b'feirish that he wants to give the matana to the shliach. If he says specifically, I'm giving this to the shliach. So if it's like Rashi says, it's all about a suffix, we don't know who he wants to give it to, and that's why they split it. Well, now we know who he wants to give it to. He wants to give it to the shliach, so it all goes to the shliach. But if it's that it's not right, I'm going to use someone else's money to gain something for myself, well then, even if he says he wants to give it to the shliach, but he's only giving it to me because I'm spending someone else's money, then I should really still split it with the other party. The Ramah paskins in Chosh Mishpat and Kuf Pei Gimel that when the mocher says that he's giving the matana to the shliach gets to keep it. Meaning, Ramah paskins like Rashi, that we're not sure who he intends to give this matana to. Another nafkamina is, if we know it's not for the shliach, we know he would give it to anybody who would come in and spend the money. So if you assume, like Rashi, that it's a suffik, well, it's not a suffik over here. Anyone who would spend the money, who would buy two rolls of sushi, or buy seven slices of pizza, would be able to get that eighth slice for free. It's not because he likes the shliach. So if you assume like Rashi, which is how the Ramah seems to assume, then it should all go to the Mishnah shaleach. It should all go to the person who sent him. But if you assume like the other rishonim, then it's not so pashut. It could be the other rishonim are saying that the person who puts in the effort and the person who put in the money are each contributing, and therefore the yosher suggests that they should split it because they're each contributing to the transaction over here. So, and I believe that's how the mechaber paskins. So it's machlokas mechaber ama. What made the case with the sushi very interesting was that the mishalchim were svardim and the shaliach was an Ashkenazi. So how do you paskin that halacha when you have a choshen mishpat case where you have a different halacha for Ashkenazim and svardim? Now it would turn out that the shaliach was an Ashkenazi. He would have to follow the shitas harama, which would mean that the mishaleach would get everything, that the other kids would get everything. The mishalchim or svardim, they would have to follow the shitas hamachaber that they have to split it with the shliach. So each one, according to their own heritage, would lose, right? If they would follow the other. So it was a unique situation. The Shevet Alevi, Rav Ozner, Chelteshim Shinhei, deals with someone who's sent on a business trip that he buys. He gets frequent flyer miles. So who gets the frequent flyer miles? And he says that it's shaykh to the mishaleach because it's not a matana at all. It's you know exactly he would get the airline is giving this to anyone who's willing to pay for the money. Meaning, assuming like Ashkenazim, that we paskin like the Rashi, that it's all about the suffix, we don't know who they would give it to. Well, we know who they would give it to. They would give it to anyone who'd be willing to spend the money. However, he says, a lot of times if a company says, you make your own travel arrangements on whatever airline you want to make it, and we don't care, so, and he's the one that had the chachma to put it together and decide that he's all going to make it on that one airline so he can get the frequent flyer miles and ultimately get the ticket, then it would belong to him because they're mochel on any of that. One could have argued that the sushi shayla the same is true. These boys didn't care which place he got the sushi from. He was smart enough to go to the place that has a buy two get one free. So then maybe in that case he'd have more of a taina that it would belong to him. Okay, let's go vaytu in the Gemara. Took too much time in that. So ibaylu amalei zavenli lischa va'azal zavenli kur. If a guy says I want you to go sell for me a lesach of land and he sold them a kur, so my mosif al dvaravu v'lischa miyakani. Do we assume that he did more than he was expected, but the kinyan is chala on the lesach? Or maybe that's considered a violation of the shlichus, and therefore it doesn't even sell the smaller amount. So I'm Rav Yaakov Minarpakon Mishmei de Ravina. Tashma, I'll bring a raya. The Gemara's going to have two rayas on this. I'm going to, the conversation continues tomorrow. First raya is Amar Balabais L'Shlucho Tein Len Chatich La Orchin. Balabais tells the shliach, take a piece of whatever and give it of bread, let's say, and give it to the guest. Problem is that the bread was hegdish and the Balabais didn't realize, and neither did the shliach. V'u'omer, the shliach tells the guests, Tulushtayim, take two. So more than he was authorized. V'hein, not Lushalosh. And they took three. Kulan malu, they all violated Mi'ila, because the Balabais violated Mi'ila because he b'shogeg gave them one. The Shliach then added one, so he violated Mi'ila, and then the Orchim added another one, so they violated Mi'ila. But yeah, b'shlam mosval dvar v'havim b'shmachi Balabais mal. If you assume that when you do more than you were told to do, that it's considered that you did your shlichus, and then you did more, so then I understand why the shliach was moel, because he did his shlichus correctly, but then he also violated Mi'ila. But if you always consider someone who does more than he was asked to do as being a violation of the shlichus, then balabais am I moel? Why is the balabais in violation of Mi'ila over here? If the shliach didn't do his shlichus, the balabais can't be moel. Normally we have a rule of ein shliach. That's not true for Mi'ila. Mi'ila is one of the rare exceptions where we say Yeshlech Ledvar Avera. So if I send someone to do Mi'ila for me, to do something for me, which happens to be Mi'ila, Mi'ila is always B'shogeg. So then I didn't realize it was Hegdish. It still relates back to me. But that's only if you could say that he did his Shlichus. But if you're going to say that by adding more, he didn't do his Shlichus, then why is the Balabais Mal? So obviously you see that we consider it that he did do his Shlichus. So answers Gemara, Hachamayas. Maybe generally when you add more, it's not considered that you did your shlichus. But in this case, the shliach explicitly said, take one midaito shel balabayis, that's the shlichus, and then, by the way, I'll throw in some extra. And then they took some extras on the extras, they took three. So that's why everybody was mal in that case, because in that case he explicitly did exactly like his shlichus. Okay, but we'll get to the second raya tomorrow. That goes well into tomorrow's class.